Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. It's Wednesday, February 7th, 2018, and still in the Super Bowl afterglow. It's so good meeting up with you, Jason, as we were talking about it. I know yesterday on the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends, Marianne, as she came into the studio, I said, hey, what about the Super Bowl? What do you think about it? And she watched the whole thing and the commercials, and I didn't know she was like that much of a sports fan. She goes, oh, I have this incredible taco dip that I make every year, and my children, they always look forward to it. And she was telling me this year, because her daughter got married some months back, she said, now, are you expecting that taco dip again? Because that's been the family tradition. And her daughter said, oh, no, Mom, don't worry about it. You know, we're going to be fine. You know, we're doing this. And usually she watches the Super Bowl with her daughters, or at least the one daughter. But this year, I think she had another gathering that she was attending. So the daughter kind of said, yeah, no problem. Don't worry about it. 2 hours before the Super Bowl, Mom, I got to have your taco dip. So she had made a bunch, ran it over. But you and I were talking about after the Super Bowl, the coach, the quarterback, that Ertz or that one receiver that caught maybe the game-winning touchdown all gave glory to God, which was like, wow. And Marianne yesterday, as I referenced it to her, she said, you know, I was watching the quarterback, the calm on his face, the pregame show and some of the other things when he was interviewed, and I just knew that he must be a Christian, but he never said anything during those times. And afterwards, when she heard him say, glory to God, she was so encouraged. And I think, you know, the role that he can have and continue to have as he surrenders to God and allows this fame and this notoriety to be used, hopefully to bring God the glory. But for those that maybe didn't know, I guess he was attending or has taken some online courses at your alma mater.
Yeah.
He's trying to get a degree and wants to be a pastor and may, in fact, retire and become a pastor, which, wow, it's kind of interesting.
Yeah, I was pretty shocked, you know, because I watched it through, and then I usually don't watch the presentation stuff at the end, all that hubbub. So I was, I got up and I was cleaning up, you know, with pizza boxes and stuff, and I was trying to clean all that up and get that, you know, so that we could go to bed. And all of a sudden, I heard, and the Lombardi Trophy, and so I poked my head around just to see what that was. And then I watched the coach, before he said anything else, make such a clear declaration or a clear proclamation. And I mean,
hey, what's the difference between a proclamation and a declaration?
Oh, gosh, I don't know.
Okay, I just thought, wow.
But it sounds good, doesn't it? But so this is a little bit of the thing. I have it actually on my phone.
You explain this, that 9 years ago you're coaching in high school and here you are with this trophy.
I can only give the praise to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for giving me this opportunity, and I'm going to tell you something.
Yeah, the Lord and Savior, not just I thank God, you know, which is very generic, my Lord and Savior.
So I mean, the other guys, Ertz and Foles, the quarterback, and I think the other guys are running back or something like that, you know, they said all glory goes to God. And I love that. And we've heard that before. But when you have this moment where you're on a platform and you have, I think I saw 103, the average was 103 million people were tuned in. And you have this platform, and the first thing you say is, you have to listen to the intentionality of the words, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So he was saying, my personal Lord, which means over all of my life, which I think he was living in that moment, because again, what you declare when you have a platform says a lot about your heart. Mm. And so he could have said, you know, hey, you know what? We got a great staff, and we got a great organization, and that's what the president of the Eagles said. I mean, he kind of said, you know, we have a great organization, we have great fans, we have great this. But this guy says, my personal Lord over all of my life and Savior, he saved me. And then he just clearly, Jesus Christ. Declare with your lips that Jesus Christ is Lord, and you will be saved, you and your household. He made that clear, and he used that platform to first, before he talked about anything else, to say that.
Yeah.
And I know, because I watched, you know, so I heard that, and I was like, whoa. So I jumped on social media because I know social media was going to go crazy. And it did. True to form, social media went nuts. Like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe it. Oh, my gosh, here's religion. This is supposed to be football. This is supposed to be that. You know, no, but none of these folks had a problem when football was political all year long. But now when somebody says, you know what, I actually took this thing and lived it a different way and worked it a different way and existed in it and did it for a different reason than what most people would think they did. Now, did he want to win football games? Of course. But why he wanted to win football games, we don't know. We get a really good snapshot of his heart. But we don't know that, you know, and my hope is like that he was just saying on the sidelines, when I get up on that platform, I am going to declare the gospel. I am going to do that. There was some degree of intentionality because right away, I mean, that's what he says.
Yeah.
And, I mean, in that moment, there has to be this, there would have to be like this desire, this kind of move to say everything but that. Because your pride, you're caught up in a moment, and this moment is all about you. Millions of people are watching you. You're holding the trophy that you just won. You have every reason to make it all about you, especially because the guy interviewing you is like, about you.
Yeah, yeah.
And instead, he's like, no, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
And I think so many times, even Christians that are going to be intentional like that, get lost in the moment,
sure.
And then you regret, oh, shoot, this is my opportunity. Why didn't I say it like this? Why didn't I say it like that? And he probably had to have left that interview or that time on the stage thinking, thank you, God, that you gave me those right words to say, to remember to say them, because sometimes, even though we want to say them, we just forget or we get caught up. But, yeah.
So what's really funny is a lot of people, you know, they segued from the game right over to, you know, they went to commercial so we could watch some more of those crazy commercials and then came right back out. And all of a sudden, you know, they're bringing that trophy down the line where everybody's trying to touch it. Yeah. And the woman has the white gloves because God forbid you could actually touch the trophy.
I was thinking all those guys that were kissing and I'm like, gosh, I hope nobody has that flu. I mean,
yeah,
hundreds or dozens.
But what was really interesting is what they didn't show is after they won, they all huddled up and prayed.
Oh.
And so that was something that the media didn't capture. Now, did the media not capture that on purpose? I'm going to be an optimist and say that they just went to commercial. They have sponsors. They have obligations that way. I don't want to demonize the media, even though I think they do it to themselves pretty easily. But, you know, maybe they just had obligations that they had to do. But so they didn't show that. But it was like God's like, don't worry. Don't worry. You didn't show that, but don't worry because I got some spokesmen who are going to get up to the mic. And
now, how did you see that? Was that somebody else?
Somebody else had taken a video. So what I'm like, I'm going through Twitter now because I'm like, oh, my gosh, like what's, you know, all these people are freaking out. And I love it. I love when, you know, people are freaking out because the name of Jesus is being lifted up. And then somebody said, well, here's what happened right after.
Hmm.
You know, after kind of everybody did the hoo-ha and kind of grabbed each other and was like, woo-hoo, that all of a sudden then they were like, hey, we need to pray, thank God.
Well, you were saying beforehand, as you did a little research or checked up on it, that they held church services maybe on Saturday night or chapel, and then they had something for families or couples on Monday night or a Bible study, that this was a pattern for the team, that many attended, if not most of the players, were involved in other off-field religious activities, like the chapels or church services.
Yeah, there is an intentional culture within the organization to follow Jesus. I mean, they do. They have Bible studies. Now, you know, Sunday football, they're traveling, they're going to play a game, they're somewhere else. They can't do all those things. And so what they do is they intentionally have chapel on Saturday night, I read. And then they have like a couple's Bible study during the week, and they have another Bible study just for the players. And then they have a time where the players can just talk about, you know, what are they struggling with. And then they have another time where they just have prayer. And so they just have a culture of following Jesus. Now, listen, let's just be really clear, because I think that this is important. Following Jesus is important. It doesn't guarantee you win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
It doesn't guarantee, I mean, if you're following Jesus because you're like, well, you, I mean, like if next year all of a sudden every team is praying and huddling up and doing all that, praise God, that'll be the effect of their witness. But let's hope that their heart is that they're doing it because they sincerely want to follow Jesus. And it's not because, well, you know, I mean, I won the Super Bowl. I mean, maybe we got to get on that train. So you just want to be careful. That faith did not ensure them the winning of the Super Bowl. But listen, I don't think it hurt, number one. And number two, I think that it might have also sustained them and carried them through if they had lost.
Right.
You know, I mean, because I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't know where the Patriots are with Jesus. I mean, I know there's no kind of public proclamation. I don't know where any of that. But, I mean, just the looks on their faces afterwards, it was like the end of the world had happened. And you think about, okay, like, let's just have some perspective here. It is just a football game. I mean, I realize that you've worked all season and you have worked hard to get to this moment. And I'm not anti-winning or pro-losing or anything like that. But your whole life cannot hedge upon that. You could leave that football game having lost that football game and run into somebody who has been battling cancer and go, you know what? That football game's no big deal. I mean, like, life and death is not hanging in the balance.
And, you know, I think the winning players got like 100, and I'm off on the numbers because I just glanced at, like, say, $116,000 bonus. The losers got like 58,000. I mean, it's like,
yeah,
you know, 58,000 more dollars to an already padded paycheck of millions of dollars.
Just think about this. I mean, that's 100 times more than what somebody would make, 1,000 times more, actually, than what somebody makes in sub-Saharan Africa, $535 a year. And so how are you losing? You're not losing. You got to be part of this. You made it all the way to the big game, and you got to be part of the big game. And one of the things about the big game is there's a winner and there's a loser.
Yeah.
But everybody who made it to the big game is still a winner. And so I just hate that we, in our American ideals, unfortunately, I think we have such this love of winners that we think that if we're not a winner, then it's the end. But listen, when our Lord and Savior, I'm going to borrow from the coach, when my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ hung on the cross, everybody thought he lost. Everybody thought the big game was over. Everybody thought, oh no, we don't get to touch the trophy. We don't get to do that. And yet, 3 days later, he rose from the grave, triumphantly, victoriously, ascended to the Father and sent us the Holy Spirit, just as he had promised. And so sometimes you may need to lose to win. Sometimes you may need to. You know why? Because I think that losing, for many of us, and now when I talk about losing now, I'm not talking about Super Bowl anymore. I'm talking about all the points in your day where it feels like you're losing, where it feels like you're just not getting there. The places where your frustrations and your fears lie, the places where your disappointment and depression lie, all those places where it feels like you're losing. Listen, that exposes what you truly believe. And I'm sorry, but I'm going to say it. I run into a lot of Christians these days who say they believe that everything is going somewhere but act like they're living nowhere. You know, they believe, well, I believe this thing's going. I believe Jesus is going to come back. I believe all this is going to happen. But, oh, my gosh, today. Hmm. Today. And the Apostle Paul would say this crazy phrase where he says, this light momentary affliction. Now, by the way, I'm going to match Paul's day up against your day.
Hmm.
Paul's day would be whipped, beaten, shipwrecked, bitten by a snake.
Starved,
house arrest, people who he loved and valued leaving him and leaving the faith, his best friend in him having such a row that it is put on par with the crashing of lightning and revelation. Let's pit that up against your day. And then Paul calls that a light momentary affliction, which is bearing, preparing for the eternal weight of glory. And so we have got to, as Jesus people, put everything in the perspective of Jesus. And so there are many, many times that we will feel like we're losing. Many, many times where we will feel like we have lost. But listen, every death is the opportunity for a resurrection. Every single death is an opportunity for a resurrection. So every place where you feel like you've lost is an opportunity for 3 days later for victory. But the victory may not look worldly. The victory may, it's not like Tom Brady woke up 3 days later and he's like, oh, the Super Bowl ring. I won. No, he still didn't win. But you know what? Maybe, just maybe, he needed some humility. I don't know. I really don't know them that well. I don't follow the whole thing that well. I know there are people who absolutely dislike him and people absolutely love him. I'm not on either of those fences. I just think that God was doing something. That's what I think. And I think that God was at work in all of it. Does God like football? I don't know. He created it. So and have we maligned it? Yeah, okay. But, you know, I just think that we've got to get the right perspective.
Yeah, perspective was the word that I was thinking all along. And the perspective of the cross, the victory, mm-hmm, we all gained. I mean, we are on the winning team regardless of the situation, the circumstances, the heartaches, the failures, the things that we put our trust in and then they fail us. We are on the winning team, and you're right. Oftentimes, we don't live that. We don't live with the joy because we lose the perspective, or we just forget that we have an eternal destiny set out for us because of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we can live in that now, even when there's heartache and hurt and disappointment. And so it was kind of neat that they were giving glory to God. And I think you could probably interview those three, and they say, hey, yeah, it was very important. We worked very hard. We did our best. We were disciplined. We did everything we could do to try to achieve the win. But had we lost, yeah, it would have been a disappointment, but we have a greater perspective because Jesus is sovereign. Right. We have an eternity set for us, and life will go on. And it seems like they were really healthy in that awareness.
Yeah, and so you continue with the metaphor, you know, the post-game metaphor. In all the places that you're living your life today, there will be some losses. And so will you walk off the field dejected and just like, you know, I just don't know if I'm even going to stick with this whole Jesus thing. I don't even know if I'm going to be able to do it. I'm just going to keep my mouth shut. I'm just going to put my head down. And suddenly you're living, you're saying it's going somewhere, but you're living like it's nowhere. And you're living like Jesus is a nobody. But in the same perspective, I want to challenge you too, because there are going to be times today when you're winning. There are going to be times today where you close the big deal, where you meet somebody new and your heart begins to flutter. There's going to be days where everything is going your way and you're going to be given a platform to open your mouth. And in that moment, every bit of it is going to be like, well, you know, I did this and I did this and I did this and I did this and oh my gosh, I did this. And in that moment, it's going to reveal something else about your heart. Just as obvious as it is in the losing, it can be in the winning. And so when you get that platform because something won, you're winning at something, will you get up and will you say like that coach, all of this belongs to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I love that he said my, because he was owning his faith. And listen, I don't know, in this day and age, at this time, and in the where the world is and how culture is, to own your faith on national TV in one of the biggest spectacles in all that's shown all year long, 103 million people? I mean, I don't, there is no, it was funny because I got together with a group of pastors yesterday and we were talking about this. And they all said, even the most successful pastor out there will never have reached as many people as he did in that moment. There's nobody's going to have a gathering that big. There's nobody who's going to do a revival that big. Even Billy Graham, at the height of Billy Graham-ness, never got to reach 103 million people all at one time.
Yeah.
And so this guy had a huge platform in the midst of a huge spectacle that everybody was tuned in to see.
Yeah.
And so in a moment where it could have gone all one way, he said, no, I want to show you the way and the truth and the life. I'm going to proclaim that. And I'm going to do it unashamedly. I love how he unashamed, before he said anything, I go, 9 years you've been quiet on earth about, what do you think? I give all credit to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's bold.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you what, every time I hear it, I just want to keep going back to it because I'm like, that's bold. That's Jesus-like boldness. That is the strength of the Holy Spirit going, do it. All right, I'm going to do it. And he did it.
Yeah.
And you're just like, got to go, wow, God, what an amazing moment. And so if he can do it in front of 103 million people, I wonder today, friend, can you do it in front of the 3 to 5 people that you might come across? Can you do it in front of the one person that you might come across today? Maybe you're going to meet with somebody and you feel the Lord prodding your heart towards sharing with them. This guy could share in front of 103 million people, and many of them, many, many, many of them were going to be critics. The internet blew up with negative things to say about his proclamation. So friends, listen, can you be bold like him and share it with 1, 2, 3, 4 people that you have a Savior, my Lord and Jesus Christ, and that he saved you? And what did he save you from? God, what a great opportunity to tell the story. What does the old hymn say? I love to tell the story. It'll be my...
something in glory.
Yeah, it'll be my story in glory. I don't know. I don't always go with the words until I start singing it.
Yeah.
But then when I start singing it, people start praying. It doesn't, you know. Well.
Well, I was thinking last week we were talking about the senior saints and how powerful a story they still have, even though they're 70, 80, 90 years old, to tell that story. And I think that's the calling today. We all will have opportunity. Yeah. We all will get to share in someone's life to varying degrees and take that opportunity, seize the moment, mm-hmm. as the coach did, and subtly or proclaim it boldly. Just share it. Just start saying, you know what, I can identify with your situation, or let me tell you how I dealt with that because of the peace I have, not because I'm just a strong person or I'm gifted in these areas or whatever, but because I rely on or lean into Lord Jesus Christ. And I think I've said this or shared this example many times in various occasions, but it's easy to be happy and treat everyone kind and nice when you're on the cruise ship. You know, you're being pampered, you're being spoiled, it's a great setting, you're cruising, you know, on the ocean. It's a vacation. And so it's easy to be nice to everyone. But I said, that's not when your true character comes out. It's when the heat of opposition is against you, or disappointment, or the cancer, the C word comes into your life, or various afflictions or things are going on. And that's when the proof's in the pudding, as they say. And it would have been interesting to see what the coach would have said had he lost. But you could probably feel that he would say, you know what, it's a great disappointment. We tried our hardest. But I think he probably would have said, but God's still in control. Our life will go on. I think he would have had that perspective because he has the eternal glory because he named Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And that would be probably our greatest desire, Jason, is that somebody listening today that's maybe struggling in life or trying to find meaning or purpose or don't know why they're doing what they're doing, that they would explore, entertain the idea. Well, they're talking about this God. Is there really a God? Is there somebody that created me that cares for me? And that they would call 1-888-NEED-HIM. There's trained counselors, great people that can talk about how to have a relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ and how to know him and how to have a personal relationship with him. That would be primarily the best answer to our prayers, that you would have a stirring in your heart to find out who the Lord Jesus Christ is. And that you would call him your personal Lord and Savior. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffel with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.
I love to tell the story. It's because I know it's true. It satisfies my longing as nothing else can do. I love to tell the story. It will be my theme in glory.